Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Coffee, 500 cigarettes, 1,000 miles of highway, and I ain't forgot her yet, but I'll keep on moving. I keep moving down the line. There ain't nothing in my mirror, just a cloud, dust, and smoke. What do you expect when some old trucker's heart gets broke? Yeah, truckers' hearts get broke. But them big wheels of rubber gonna rubber off of my mind. Well, I'm a highway junkie and I need that old white line.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Ed with Redneckinize Radio. Hey, we're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. And we're also live on Facebook Live. Check out our website, redneckinize.com. Get links to our Facebook account, our Facebook page. Also, our YouTube channel. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. And don't forget to, like I said, check out one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers. You can download it at your app store, Trucker Tools, or check them out, truckertools.com. It's where you can book freight, track freight, and you can also find parking, truck stops, fuel stops, maintenance facilities, route planning. It's got a lot of different features, you know, like Trucker Tools, just like it says. TruckerTools.com is the website, and you can download it from your app store, Trucker Tools, the app for truckers. Appreciate everybody joining us tonight. Ain't much too much going on. I just want to remind everybody that there is a comment for the FMCSA at regulations.gov. If you go to regulations.gov, you can figure out there's a little link right there that has for the FMCSA, their proposed rulemaking. They're in their comment phase right now where you can public comment for the speed limiter devices. Speed limiting devices is what it says. And that expires in 22 days. It goes till June 3rd. It started May 3rd. And you can go on there. You can even go on there and read some comments that have made it on there. It says there's about 5,500 comments that have been made so far. And you would think there'd be more, but there's not. A lot of it's anonymous. You don't have to give your name or information like that, so you can do whatever. And cars should be limited to 80 miles an hour. Trucks should be limited to 80 miles an hour as well. To make the truck go under the speed limit on any road is dangerous and will be more likely to be rear-ended. That might be something. Let's see what this is here. This is a screenshot. And let's see what this is. Maybe, maybe not. You got to pull it up. You got to download it. I just want to look at it. I don't want to do anything. FMCSA. There it is. Let's just open it and see what it looks like. Oh, and he just shows pictures of rear end crashes, you know, and I don't know. To me, the rear end crashes don't justify anything because it's the people that are driving too fast, which is, you know, likely to be like the cars. Cars get rear ended. And I tell you what, I don't know if anybody's ever seen that, but a car rear ending a big truck, that's a bad deal. So, but yeah, you can go on there, regulations.gov, and you can figure it out. It's right there in the front. It's not anything hidden or anything like that. In fact, I'll double click on that real quick to go to the main page. And it says, you know, like what's new at regulations.gov, and it says trending. And there is a couple of different deals. There's a for the Environmental Protection Agency, Wage and Hour Division, Fish and Wildlife. And then it says Federal Motor Carrier, and that's which one you want. And that's the trending one. And it was at the top of the list. So these others, looks like they were introduced. Yeah. See, no, they're about to expire. they're going, comments due May 16th, comments due May 17th. So those will be going away. But then this one here says comments due May 25th on this other one. But then this, of course, you click on the one that says speed limiting devices, and it says comments due June 3rd. And like I said, it's for, and what it is that there's not really any kind of proposal for exactly what's going to happen. I'll read to you what it says here. It says FMCSA announces its intent to proceed with the speed limiter rulemaking by preparing a supplemental notice of proposed rulemaking to follow up on the National Highway Safety, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the FMCSA's jointly issued September 7, 2016 notice to propose rulemaking on the subject. The proposed rule will, this, I guess this whole, you know, agency or whatever, it says will propose that motor carriers operating commercial vehicles in interstate commerce with a gross vehicle weight or gross, the gross vehicle weight rating or gross vehicle weight of 11,794 kilograms or more than 26,000 pounds, whichever is greater, that are equipped with electronic engine control units, and of course the ECMs, you know, that we always know about, is maximum speed to be required to limit the commercial vehicle to the speed that is determined by the rulemaking and maintain that setting for the service life of the vehicle. This is a notice of intent. FMCSA requests public comment and data regarding the adjustment and programming of the ECUs. So that's what this is doing, and they haven't said anything. There's no actually written on here. There's no actually determination of what speeds. A couple of articles from the news has said it's going to be like between, you know, it could be 60, it could be 65, it could be 68. They just don't know yet. So ain't no telling. And we've been discussing this since it came out. When we found out about it, we've been talking about it, and we've been debating it back and forth with drivers and with ourselves here and everything. And we're just kind of trying to figure out what all's going on. And I don't know. I recently here became more of the line that, you know what, if it's really about safety, if you are really trying to be safe, then there shouldn't be any, like, what do they call it, you know, exemptions, okay? You know the problem with the hours of service is there are so many exemptions for different fields, like different industries in the trucking industry. You know, we've got livestock exemptions. We've got like the bed bugs and the car carriers, and then of course you got the miles and outside the miles and all that stuff like that. And you know, being a local driver and actually being clocked in as on duty and everything. And they've got all these exemptions. And a lot of carriers, just to cover their butt, what they do is they kind of like want to be on top of the exemptions. They want to say, no, we're not going to nitpick with the exemptions. We're just going to be straight up. And no driving past a certain time, you know, no, certain amount of hours a day, certain amount of hours of driving, all that. They're not going to do that. And, of course, a lot of these bigger companies, the way they keep track of that the best is with the electronic logging devices. So pretty much what's going to boil down to is that if you are in a truck right now that has got a, what do they call it, the logging device, electronic logging device, because you're required, because the truck is that old, that new, and the ECM can have that, then you're probably going to have a speed limiter too. And that's what it's going to come down to. And if you got an older truck that's not required to have e-logs, well, then you're probably not going to be required to have any kind of speed limiters. And I can say, why not? Why is this? Why are we trying to, like, say, if you're exempt? Because what that does, what we know that does, is that creates a market for these older trucks. Drivers are actually trying to maintain older equipment so they can keep it out on the road and they don't have to abide by these crazy rules. So I see it all the time. I mean, there's some nice older trucks. There are also some crappy older trucks. There are some crappy new trucks that are out there that aren't well maintained, but they're new. You know, they're newer. You know, they might be 5 or 10 years old and they're falling apart, but hey, guess what? They meet the standards of having an e-log and having, and they're probably going to have, you know, speed limiters eventually, you know, and everybody's trying to get that done. So I just say, why not? Why, if you're truly focused on safety, if you want the highways to be safe, then you need to have every vehicle, just like the guy said before, cars, trucks, everybody has to be governed the same. All vehicles must cannot exceed a speed. No vehicles at all on the road are allowed to go a certain speed. Whatever that speed, whatever you set that speed at, none of the vehicles are allowed to go faster than that. If you're going to set a rule that the, that certain vehicles, and of course what's going to come down, like everybody says, the reason why that the FMCSA is proposing this rule is because Congress gave them the power to regulate big trucks, commercial vehicles. The commercial vehicles, because you participate in interstate commerce, the federal government has the authority to regulate you. That's what it boils down to. Cars do not participate. If you're in a car and you participate in interstate commerce, like, you know, you're doing a job and making money with that car, they can regulate you. But it's hard to prove that, so they don't regulate cars. Because if you're traveling, you know the funny thing to me is if you live in one state and you travel to the other state for a vacation, to me you're participating in interstate commerce. you're taking money from one state and spending it in another. You know, you earn money in Texas and you drive to Florida every year, spend that money on Disney World in Florida. It's interstate commerce. That's taking money from one state and transporting it to the next. Goods, services, whatever. You know, the goods is you. You know, you're earning money over here, but then you drive over here to this state and you spend that money that you earned. And that's interstate commerce. But, you know, hey, that's lawyers talking, and they say we can regulate it. I remember we were at a truck show there in Louisville back in the day when the truck shows were really, really nice and they had a lot of stuff going on. The actual director of the FMCSA was giving speeches and doing Q&As and all kinds of stuff. And I remember, you know, they had like a deal where you could walk up to the middle aisle and there was a microphone and you can ask questions. And the guy walked up and he didn't even need a microphone. He yelled out real loud because I think at that time they were talking about e-logs and they were talking about different stuff with the tankers and changing those rules like they did. We know they did that. And he's like, who gave you the authority to regulate me? And she, without dropping a beat, without skipping, without saying, without thinking about it, she says, the United States Congress did, because you participate in interstate commerce and they have the authority to regulate you. So they gave me that power. And basically, you know, we can talk about government all day, but what has happened over the course of what, 50, 70 years, Congress has created these agencies. And instead of Congress voting on the rules in Congress, your representatives are supposed to make the laws, right? Well, what law they created was they created a law that says the FMCSA has the authority to make laws. I mean, that's the law they created. So there's a couple of people that I've watched on YouTube, some lawyers and everything, and they say that can be, if you had the right judges in the Supreme Court, you can probably deem that unconstitutional, that the Congress doesn't have the authority to give another entity, another power to regulate laws. You can't, you know, if you're going to make a law, the Congress has to vote on it. You know, there's some people that say that, but, you know, we don't do it that way. We create an agency and that agency creates the laws. So that's what happened. So they're having, like you said, a comment period where you can get on there and you can comment about the proposed speed limiting devices, the proposed rule that's going to require all big trucks, you know, with an ECM and a gross vehicle weight of 26,000 pounds or more, or rating, that they're going to have a speed limiter programmed in the ECM, some type of speed limit, some type of governor. So that's what that's going to happen, and that's going to be done. And, you know, so make sure you get over there, go to regulations.gov, and make sure you make a comment. You know, and I don't even know. I wasn't really involved in a lot of the other commenting periods on these other rules, so I remember there was a meeting that was held where everybody could call online and everything. And what they did was they had people commenting about the hours of service and, you know, the 14 and the 10. And everybody says, no, it's not the clock. Have that clock running, it's too much. We need to be able to take a break. Like if there's heavy traffic and instead of sitting in traffic, we should be able to pull over, take a nap, and then once the traffic dies down, we get back on the road. So we need to be allowed to take a break to stop our clock. You know, everybody, all the truckers know what that means. When you take a break, your 14 hours stops ticking, right? That doesn't count against you. When you sit and the 14-hour clock keeps running, that counts against you. Well, you don't want to do that. You want to be able to stop the clock and be able to take a break and then start driving whenever. They didn't understand it that way. They said, you know what? You say you need to be able to take a break. Your 14-hour clock's not going to stop, but we're going to require you to take a break. And that's when they came in with that 30 minutes after, before 8 hours. They changed that. And no, they did not do anything that anybody suggests they do. You know, all of the people that talked about it, they talked about it doing this one way where they didn't want the 14-hour clock to continue on, and they did the exact opposite of that. Instead of allowing the drivers the power to take their own breaks whenever they wanted and stop the clock, they just said, we're going to mandate you take a break, and we're not going to stop the clock. So they could just do whatever they want then. They don't, you know, they do the comment period. Of course, I think this is what a lot of drivers know. A lot of drivers say, you know, I don't know why we need to comment. The comment period is just kind of a formality that the Congress actually passed a law that said they have to do this comment period. And they say, yeah, we'll have the comment period, but we're not going to listen to anybody. Why would we do that when we don't have to listen to anybody? We can just allow them to make comments, and then we still make our rule like we want to. We don't care about the comments. And that's pretty much the mentality or the perception of all the truck drivers out here, that, you know, why comment? They're not going to listen to you. So that's how that goes. But yeah, like I said, keep on making comments. I mean, still, you got to get involved. You know, you can't sit there and bitch and then not participate. So you got to get involved, and you got to let them know. And then, of course, next thing you do is you need to send an email to your congressman or senator and tell them it's a bunch of crap. That's what you need to do. So yeah, like I said, don't forget, go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. We've got links to all of our social media accounts on there and links to all of our sponsors. Another great sponsor we'd like to thank is Trucker Tools. The app for truckers, go download that app in the app store, and you can check them out, truckertools.com. And don't forget to go thank them for their support of Redneck and Eyes, because we really do appreciate them doing that. And go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate doing that for us. You can find the link to our website, redneckandeyes.com. There's a little icon with a YouTube on it. Or just go on YouTube and search Redneck and Eyes, and it'll pop up. Make sure you spell it right. A lot of people, if you've got any kind of like spell checker or any kind of deal, sometimes the phones will automatically spell it with an O, because back in the day, they used other organizations, other entities spelled it that way with an O instead of an A. And I've been working real hard to try to get that fixed so that it's always an A. So and all we can do is get your support. Keep Googling us, keep pulling us up on the website, and we appreciate everybody's support. So until then, like I said, go check us out. We're just trucking right along here. Like I said, we're YouTube. Go subscribe. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We'll be back in a second. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
And a million saddle pals with a never-empty gun. We kept those outlaws on the run. Remember how we fought the road until we had them all corralled. So ride, country cowboy, ride. The open highway is your reign. Ten poor little buckaroos and happy, happy trails to you. Ride, country cowboy, ride.
Living on toast.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Ted with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Don't forget to go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. And we're also on doing a Sunday show. 2 hours, kind of laid back, a little slower, you know, trying to get things kind of just, you know, chilling out. And just trying to get more content out there to everybody. And getting on our YouTube channel is a big thing. So make sure you go check out our YouTube channel. It's links to that are on our website, redneckandeyes.com. One of the great sponsors I like to think that we've been with a long time, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com or give them a holler at 800-634-3010. You know, they're the ones that they got the parts, and they can clean your filters. If you've got a DPF system, if you've got a particulate filter that you need to get cleaned, these shops, you go in there sometimes, those machines, they're all nasty and dirty because they don't take care of them. That's not their job. Their job is to work on trucks. And part of that is the filters, but, you know, they've got it right there in the shop next to everything that's all greasy and dirty, so that machine's not clean. When you get them overnighted to DPF Regeneration, they've got a lab, like, where they've got facilities where they keep them clean. They keep everything clean, and when you've got a clean environment to clean something that needs to stay clean, it gets cleaned. And then they, in a big turnaround time where they can, they get them overnighted to them, they clean it, and they get overnighted right back to you. And then, of course, they got parts, too. They got the charge air coolers, and they got the turbos and all that stuff like that. So we appreciate all their support. They've been with us for a while, and we can't thank them enough for all their support. So when you go check them out, like I said, dpfregeneration.com. They're open 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and also Saturday from 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you can give them a call at 800-634-3010 and let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes, because we really do appreciate them. So we were just checking out here what's going on in the news and everything, and there was a video, and it was a driverless truck that had a blowout. So let's see if I can get this pulled up here. Oh, yeah. They got it posted to YouTube, so we should be able to get that done. Let me go ahead and let me get some screen sharing going on here. And we'll get this popped up here. Let's see what happens. Oh, hang on. There it goes. Let me. It's only like a 22-second video, so. So I guess there wasn't. So if they're testing this to say, you know, when there is a blowout, the computer, you're supposed to detect it. Well, my question is like, okay, that's all fine and dandy that you're going to tell me. There we go. It's all fine and dandy. You're going to tell me that the system is set up to where it's going to pull off the road. My deal is, can it control it? See, having now, of course, I'll admit, if a driver has a blowout on a steer, a computer has a blowout on the steer, what's different? Because it's hard as hell. If you have a blowout on a steer, that's a bad deal. That's why steers are so heavily monitored by, you know, DOT and everything, and a steer tire is expensive because they're the ones that aren't supposed to go out, and they're the ones you're supposed to be watching all the time. Now, on the regular tires, I can see blowouts happening. Okay, that's fine. Blowouts happen. But did you see the video where it like had them where, I mean, it pulled over right then and there, boom, pulled over. My deal is okay, what if there was something in the way? Will it pull? I mean, you've got all the circumstances in your favor to where the truck can just, you know, pull over, and there's nothing in the way and all that. But also, too, the truck's going to handle a little different. It's going to rumble. It's going to do different things. Is the computer capable of handling that? Because tire didn't actually blow out. It was if they had a sensor, they cut the sensor to say, hey, a tire blew it out. It was a demonstration. And I just wanted to see, you know, of course, blowouts, they're not that. I mean, the only reason why there's blowouts is because the driver didn't check the trailer, didn't check the tires. With a driverless truck, that might happen more often, because what's going to happen is everybody knows this, because they're already talking about how not only – because it's not really going to take your jobs away to do this. You know, once driverless trucks come into all of this, then it's not really going to take any jobs away, because what's going to happen is that your CDL holder, you're probably going to get hired to work at a yard. Whenever a driverless truck comes into the yard to get refueled, you're going to be responsible for fueling it and inspecting it to make sure the tires are good, all the connections are still good, there's no hanging hoses or anything. That's what's going to happen, is you're going to see the driverless truck come into the yard and need to have stuff done to it, and you're the person that's supposed to make sure everything's done, everything's okay. You know, once, and then you might have to, depending on the yards, depending on the situation, you might have to jump in the truck and maneuver it around the yard. You know, and then once the load's ready to go, if it's ready to leave, then you push a button and say, okay, go on, and it will continue on its thing, you know, on its way. That's what I'm thinking in my head. But when you hired, you know, there are drivers out there that don't inspect very well. So what's going to happen is you're going to have the equipment fail. Because of that, can the computer handle that? So that was really silly. I thought it was an actual blowout, is what I thought. But it's just a demonstration, and that's goofy. And other than that, here's a cool little story. We were just talking about this past weekend, with a bunch of bike riders. That four-wheelers just cut you off all the time in big trucks. Driver burned in wreck sparked by four-wheelers cut off. A trucker is in the hospital with burns after a four-wheeler cut them off in Kentucky on Wednesday, causing them to overturn. The accident happened on May 11th in Louisville around 6:45 p.m. on the Watterson Expressway near Taylorsville Road. According to the news station here, a semi-truck was heading west on Interstate 264, or the Watterson Expressway, when a four-wheeler cut in front of the rig. The semi-truck then swerved to avoid the collision, but lost control and struck a concrete barrier. The truck then overturned and burst into flames. The truck driver was burned in the wreck. It is not clear how serious the burns are, but they are expected to survive. Witnesses say that the four-wheeler fled the scene following the wreck. No further information has been released. Interstate 264 was shut down for around 5 hours as crews worked to clear the wreckage. It has since been reopened, and then there's a video. Yeah, it's pretty. Let's go back to screen sharing. Let's see if we can probably do it. No, it's going to be a max deal, so we'll do it that way.
A quiet home hiding a dark secret.
This is advertisement.
What kind of care do people get who do have a mental illness?
There you go. I can mute it so that way, but it's coming up here. That was the advertisement.
Fine.
There we go.
A section of the Watterson Expressway westbound has just reopened nearly 5 hours after this fiery crash. A WHAS 11 viewer took these photos right after the crash happened near Taylorsville Road around 6:45 tonight. Witnesses tell police a car cut in front of the semi, causing it to swerve and hit the barrier. Police say the car took off. The semi then rolled over on its side and burst into flames. Now, the driver was taken to the hospital with burns to parts of his body, but police say he is expected to survive. And take a look at the smoke caused by all the diesel fuel and the burning rubber. It could be seen for miles tonight. Police are on the lookout for the driver, who they say took off from the scene.
Shut it. There we go.
Now to our weekly health check.
So, this has always been a big problem. A lot of people know, understand it, but it's just cars, four-wheelers cutting off big trucks. Now, I've had that happen a couple of times. I've always been able to stop. I haven't had to swerve or anything. I haven't had that severe. My memory is it was like right before Christmas. And I was on Interstate 20 in Dallas there on the south side down there, like around Grand Prairie, Arlington, whatever it is over there. And I was coming down the road in the right lane, and I'm doing, I mean, I'm not even, like, I'm only going, like, maybe 60, 65. I think the speed limit's 70, whatever it is. I was not going that fast. And there was traffic up ahead of me. So I'm kind of, like, backed off a little bit, and I can see it and everything. Well, then this four-wheeler comes running up the side of me on the left side real fast, and then realize they got to exit, and they jump over. And then the thing, the biggest problem was, is that the exit was backed up. So they slam on their brakes. Now, the deal was, is that what I saw is the off ramp was backed up. When I'm going down the road, there's nothing in front of me because everybody that's waiting at that off ramp is over on the off ramp, but it's up there. So I'm backed off already because I can see that there is a backup, but it's not in my lane. And then what happened was is the four-wheeler jumped up and jumped over in front of me and realized they, or I don't know when they realized it, but they wanted to exit that exit. They jumped over, and then it's kind of like they like, oh, crap, it's backed up. I have to stop. I have to slam my brakes. They didn't bother trying to get over out of my way. They just slammed on their brakes right in front of me because they needed to exit, and the off-ramp was backed up. So luckily, I already saw that off-ramp was backed up. Traffic was ahead of me, moving slower. I was gaining on that. So I had already, like, I wasn't having anything. Like, I knew, you know, I mean, I was lucky, really, that I was expecting heavy traffic. You know, we talked about this before, about how when you're out in the middle of nowhere, it's understandable that you can kind of relax a little bit. You know, maybe you're, you got your drink, or maybe you got something to eat in your hand while you're going down the road, because it happens. You know, we gotta eat while on the move or whatever. But what we do is, as truck drivers, is that when we're in an area where maybe there's bad weather, but especially when there's heavy traffic, we don't have anything on our hands. We put everything down. We're not trying to eat lunch while we're in the heavy traffic areas. We put everything down and we're focused on the heavy traffic. So luckily I was in an area that the traffic was already heavy. This other driver, I don't know the circumstances. You know, I'd love to know more. I hope, you know, is there any kind of dash cam on the truck? And if the fire burnt everything up, is it salvageable? We don't know. We hope there is, you know, because I've always thought that if somebody cut you off and you didn't hit them and you hit something else, it's your word against anybody else's. But they say that there were witnesses, so that's a good thing. But this person here in front of me, they slammed on their brakes, and luckily I was able. But I mean, I did it. I mean, I was one of those where I was inside the truck, and I could hear all of my tires. Whoop, whoop, whoop. You know, it was. I mean, it was the ABS definitely kicked in, and it was right before Christmas, and then I realized it was like a teenage girl, or college age or whatever, and I wanted to kind of stop the truck, and say you almost ended up not seeing your family for Christmas, because I would have barreled into you had I not been paying attention. And I wanted to say that, you know, maybe we need to do more of that. You know, it's kind of like you almost bought the farm. You know, you need to look behind you. You know, and we, part of the system for truck drivers is always teaching that, you know, it's not only what's in front of you or beside you. In the Smith system, it's like what's beside you, what's in front of you, what's underneath you, what's above you, what's behind you. All that's important, especially in a big truck. So I always try to put that into perspective on whatever you're driving, cars, motorcycles, whatever. It's not about what's in front of you and beside you. It's about what's behind you. You know, part of the motorcycle training is stopping well ahead of or well behind your – if you're in like a red light, stop a good maybe two motorcycle lengths behind the car in front of you. Because you're taught to constantly look in the mirror for the forwarders coming up behind you, because a lot of times, like you said, they don't see motorcycles, so you're taught to say, hey, that car's coming up pretty fast, maybe I need to roll forward a little bit to give them a little more room to stop. They come up to you pretty fast, they do sometimes, and then I want to tell everybody else, if you don't ride motorcycles, try not to go right up behind the motorcycle. Like, don't get, when you're stopped at a red light or a stop sign and the motorcycle's in front of you and you're going to pull up to them, you know, give them extra space behind them so that they kind of, you know, I mean, it's kind of like a little panic thing. When I see somebody coming up and I'm trying to roll forward to give them extra room to stop, and they're just, you know, that, you know how, you know, everybody does, they whoop and then, you know, right there. It's when I see that on a motorcycle, I turn around, I give a look. I'm like, you see me? That kind of thing. So yeah. But in a big truck, cutting off, you know, cutting in front of the big truck because you got to exit, or cutting in front of the big truck just because you need to be in that lane or whatever, you got to watch it. You got to watch it. Not every truck driver is able to pay attention like everybody else. Not every truck driver assumes the best. I mean, well, no, there's a lot of truck drivers that assume the best scenarios, which means that, you know, maybe like my route, there is an exit only. And it's always early in the morning, about 6:30 in the morning. Traffic's starting to get pretty heavy, and the road splits off. Two lanes stay to the left and go straight. One lane is an exit only, and it goes down into a 45 mile an hour curve into another highway. Well, perfect scenario would be, as a truck, is at a certain point, you just cut the cruise off or back off of it and let the truck slow down as you're entering the curve. Because by the time you get into the curve, it's already slowed down enough if you do it right. You know, sometimes drivers want to use the Jake brakes to let the truck slow down a little. You know, they can get up to the curve a little faster, and then once they engage the Jake brake, the truck will slow down with the Jake brakes, which is silly. But, you know, or if you just want to tap on the brakes just a little bit, just tap, 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 and eventually it'll slow down, and you can make that curve. The curve is really not that hard of a curve. It's pretty decent. You know, if you're in a big truck, I mean, you know, worst case scenario, you could take it at 50 if you needed to. You know, 40 is probably a little too slow for that curve. But the speed limit on the curve, the when it's curved, it says 45. So as a truck, you always want to, you know, look for 40 as that scenario. But it's not that bad of a curve. The problem is if you don't, if you're a truck driver and saying, well, I've taken this curve several times, I can take it at 50, you know, I can take it at 45, no problem. I'm not going to worry about trying to slow down even further than recommended because it's not that bad of a curve. The problem is what's going to happen is some other vehicle, doesn't matter what it is, it could be another big truck. They come up beside you going real, real fast, and then they jump over, and next thing you know, they're slamming on their brakes, you know, and that's what happens. So as truck drivers, that's what we always see every day. So it's kind of like we always have to slow down in these higher traffic areas because it's going to happen. Somebody's going to try to cut you off, especially if you're in the right lane like you're supposed to, and there's a lot of exits and on-ramps and everything, and you're trying to look out for the on-ramps, and then you see the exit ramps, and then somebody just wants to come in the middle lane, and all of a sudden, oh, crap, I got to exit, and then they cut right in front of you. And, yeah, it happens way – it shouldn't be happening. I mean, I don't know if there is laws against it. I don't know, but it's like, what are you doing? You know, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. You know, somebody that does that needs to be smacked in the face every chance you get. So that's my theory on that. But yeah, that's those regulations. Like I said, watch out, be safe out there and everything. And then driverless trucks responding to a blowout. They had a video saying that. That's not. I mean, they just simulated it. It wasn't like an actual blowout. I want to see an actual blowout. I want to see, I mean, I don't know how much fun it would be if we could do a test. I want to see an actual test. I don't want the computer to be told that there was a steer tire blowout. I want get a big truck going down the road and do something to make that steer tire blow, whether just the tire blow, maybe have something to where the tire actually blows, and I want to see what the computer does. That's what I want to see. I don't want the simulation and all that. I want to see how well the computer can steer the truck when one of the steer tires goes out. That's what I want to see. Is it better? I mean, I know how hard it is as a truck driver. You know, even a regular tire, a drive tire. You know, have it blow out. And I want to have it really blow out, and I want to see what the computer does. And then, or even in, I'll have the tire blow out, even a trailer tire blow out in heavy traffic, and I want to see what the computer does. That's what we need to see, because the video showed it was in the right lane, it was going like 50 miles an hour. They simulated the sensor breaking, noticing the tire, and it like immediately just pulled off to the shoulder because there's nothing on the shoulder. What happens when the tire blows out and there's no shoulder? What does a computer do? Right? That's what we want to know, because we know what we're going to do as truck drivers. But, you know, what does the computer think it's going to do? But, yeah, go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And, hey, don't forget, you got until June 3rd to comment on regulations.gov for the speed-limiting devices. Their proposed rulemaking is going to be for all the trucks that are, like, if you got an ECM in your truck, they're going to try to put a speed limiter on the ECM. So make sure you go comment on that, and that's good. And for the next 22 days until June 3rd, you can comment at regulations.gov for the FMCSA proposed rule for speed-limiting devices. So don't forget to go thank one of our sponsors. That's DPF Regeneration. We appreciate all their support. They're 800-634-3010 or dpfregeneration.com. And they've got all the particulate filters and everything you need for all that stuff, and they clean them really good. Like I said, don't forget to go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We have the Women of Redneck and Eyes on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We also do a Sunday show. It's a little more laid back, a little slower. Longer, 2 hours, and more if we're talking, you know, if we're just kicking back, whatever we need to do. So go check those out, and don't forget to go subscribe to YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. So hang tight. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. What's going on, everybody? This is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. Go check out one of our great sponsors. That's LTR, Load Derived Transportation, at ltrtransportation.com. LTR, Load Derived Transportation. They're a great, it's a good, like, middle size. I mean, they're not that big, but they're not that small either. And they got a lot of freight. Everybody over there that's working for them tell me that they're busy and they're running miles and they got a lot of stuff. They do the hazmat. They do the temperature refrigerated. They also have, you know, lift gate services, all that stuff. So they stay busy. And to me, it's one of those places where if you want to talk to, you know, if you want to learn more about the business as a driver and you work for those mega carriers where they might have, like, you know, they do everything for you, these mega carriers. They just want you to do what they tell you to do, right? Well, over here at LTR, at Load to Ride, it seems like they do more interactions. The drivers interact with the customers more. They actually talk to brokers. They actually have to participate in the loading and unloading of the trailers. You know, they say, you know, we need you to go pick this load up. Will it fit or will it not fit? Or can they load it like this? Can they not load it like that? That kind of thing. So it just seems like there's more to do over there as far as learning the business and learning rates and learning all more stuff about freight and dealing with customers. You know, stuff that you normally wouldn't learn at one of these bigger carriers. So, like I said, go check them out, ltrtransportation.com, Load to Ride Transportation. You can give them a call at 720-277-0030. And when you talk to them, make sure you let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes, because we really do appreciate them. So I was digging around for more news and everything. And CDL Life, to me, sometimes when I see these pieces like this, I always wondered, did they pay for this? You know? And I don't want to really talk about it because I was like, well, you know, if that trucking company, this is, so the headline reads, trucking company so popular, it's on a wait list. Drivers agree it's worth the wait. And it looks like maybe, I don't know, it was published on the 10th, and it's sponsored by the actual trucking company. So they paid to have this article done. It says content sponsored by, and it's what, Arthur Express? It says Arthur Express Incorporated. It looks like Arthur, but there's no H. And it says, these days when trucking companies are in high competition for drivers, it's unheard of for a trucking company to be putting drivers on a wait list, a waiting list. But that's exactly what St. Louis-based trucking company Arthur Express is doing. The company's current drivers say it's worth the wait. A driver here says, I've worked for Arthur Express for 4 years, said company driver Lisa Meeks. It's the best company I've worked for, and they treat us a part of the family, and they get us home when we want to be home, and we run all the miles we want. A company built by truckers for truckers. Arthur Express was established in 1998. A company has 750 trucks, 3,100 trailers, and 900 drivers. The company's large trailer pool allows drivers to enjoy a large percentage of drop and hook freight. This allows drivers to keep running, reduces dead time, It's owned by, so it's the guy's first name. It's Arthur Express owners is Arthur Wagrodsky and Tom Tokarski. They grew up in the transportation industry. They know that when drivers aren't running, no one is making money. They also know that drivers don't like sitting and waiting to be loaded or unloaded. I mean, this is all a bunch of big fluff to me. It's like, I've been driving Arthur Express for 4 years. I average 3,400 miles a week and go home when I want, and they have great lanes, 85% freight is drop and hook. I rarely have to sit and wait for loads or unloads because I won't go anywhere else. And this was another driver, Lewis Alderman, hiring for growth, not to fill seats. Sadie Church, director of recruiting at Arthur Express, said the company's recruiting philosophy is different from other companies. She says Arthur Express is hiring for growth, not to simply fill seats. Church says the company wants to hire drivers who are a right fit for the company. Well, I mean, who doesn't want to do that? I don't understand. What's the big draw here? Why is there a wait list? Is there a wait list because you don't have empty trucks? I mean, yeah, okay, that's fine. A lot of companies don't have empty trucks. A lot of companies don't hire. They only hire when they've got an opening, you know. And a lot of these LTL companies, that's where they do it. They don't accept applications. You have to apply for a job. It's not like, you know, you just go in there and fill out an application, and if they have a job, they'll call you. It's like they won't talk to anybody unless they have a job to fill. So it says, the leadership at Arthur Express is supportive and encouraging recruiting, and it helps to dramatically reduce driver turnover. The recruiting team isn't in a constant cycle of filling seats. They can spend their time really talking to drivers. I mean, it's easy to say this if you don't hire students or if you only hire certain. And Arthur Express, okay, so here we go. In 2020, Arthur Express launched a revolutionary lease program. Under the program, drivers can opt for percentage or per mile pay. In addition, there are no fixed weekly fees. None. It says drivers only pay for the loaded miles they drive. Don't make no sense. There's no down payment, no credit check, and it's completely walk-away lease. Well, yeah, most of them are all like that. Arthur Express lease drivers have access to the company's load board and can choose the loads and lanes that they want to run. It doesn't say what it says their load board. What does that mean? They created their own load board for the freight they booked. Can you go out and can you get your own freight? Can you go to, like, you know, truckstop.com or whatever it is and go, you know, book that freight? Do you have to book only whatever they have or whatever that company built? I don't see where there's a wait list, why there would be a wait list. You know what's so funny these days? A lot of these days, these companies, you know what they don't do? is they don't tell you how much they're paying per mile. There's nothing in there about that in this piece. You would think that if you're going to write up a piece, you know, it says, if you'd like to join the wait list, call this number. Why would I join the wait list? But it's in the top. You know the funny thing about this whole deal? Not only is it a paid-for article written, I don't know who it's written by, but it's written by somebody that's paid for by Archer Express, and it's a paid-for thing. And not only is it posted in CDLLife.com, but it's in like the top 10 results. Actually, it's the second one down from the top results of Google. So if you just Google what's going on in the trucking industry, that article is the second one on the list. And that's, is that because they're paying for it? More than likely they are. They're paying for it. And I've looked into that, and you know how much it costs to get your search engine, your search results at the top of the list? It's expensive. So there you go. The recruiting is different, except when they're paying for ads. Oh, man, I tell you. And like I said, if that's one thing I'll say about trucking companies, the best recruiter for a trucking company is the driver. And a lot of these companies pay drivers to recruit for them. Like if you want to come in and work for the company I work for, and you put me down as the driver that told you to come apply, I can get anywhere between $1,000 to $5,000, depending on what job is filled and the need for that job. A lot of companies pay drivers to do that. When you've got, 50% of your drivers recommending that you work for them, you know, that not only is it a good job, it pays really good. I mean, that's the other thing, too, is like a lot of times drivers, oh, yeah, I love this company. Well, how much money you make? You know, that's not important. Yeah, it is. It's very important, you know. So yeah, that's all crazy when they can spend money and put that in there, and they've got little tips and all that. What you should attach to that is a YouTube video of the drivers talking on, and not like they're standing there and reading a script. I'm talking about a driver that's sitting there in front of a camera, whether they're taking selfies or whatever, proud to be working for your company. That's what you should be proud of. And a lot of people out there, I mean, not only is it that we're not proud of who we work for, you know, we might make good money, but we're not really proud to be working for them, depending on who they are. But also, people are scared to tell everybody where they work because of security reasons. You know, you got to watch out. People are looking out for you. And if you're driving up and down the road all the time, and maybe they're looking for you, maybe they're looking for your truck, maybe they're looking for your freight. And a lot of drivers are told not to, like, you know, when you're out there on social media and you're saying, today I picked up this load and going here, and today I do it here, and this is what kind of truck I drive, and this is where I am, and all that. You know, that's different. You know, it's people are hunting you down, and companies don't want you doing that. So you got to watch out for that. But I do want drivers to be out there saying, you know, hey, I work for these people and they're awesome. You know, so if people know me, they know where I work, and I think it's pretty awesome. So yeah, we're coming down to the end of it. Everything's winding down, so we appreciate everybody supporting us here tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to hear weekdays, every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time for at least an hour. And like I said, I got to go to work. I'm fixing to go to work right now. And then we're here on Sunday too, 7 p.m. Eastern time also. And we'll be getting a 2-hour show on Sunday, and we'll be enjoying doing that. So make sure you go check out Load to Ride Transportation, LTRtransportation.com. We appreciate all their support. They've been supporting us now for the last, 3 years going on, I think. They started in the first, like the first of the year in 2020, and of course everything got shut down. So we've just been, you know, helping them out the best we can to get the word out about them here recently. And we're really excited about working with them in the future. So go check them out, Load to Ride Transportation at LTRtransportation.com, or give them a call. It's 720-277-0030. Cool deal. So, yeah, we're going to keep it going here. We got about, like I said, we're going to wind it down. And hopefully we'll see everybody tomorrow night. Same bat time, same bat channel. 7 p.m. Eastern time. Go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. And like I said, go check out ltrtransportation.com. And go our other great sponsors at DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com and Trucker Tools at truckertools.com. We appreciate all their support. So until next time, we'll see y'all. See y'all mañana. And stay safe, stay successful, and keep between the ditches. And we'll see y'all there on the road.
Lonely, lonely streets I call home. Hear my guitar, Cadillac, and hillbilly music. The only thing that keeps me hanging on. All of which is me. All the thank you, girl, for teaching me brand new ways to be cruel. If I could find the man how I guess I'd just leave. Then it's guitar, Cadillac, and hillbilly music. Lonely, that I call home. Hear my guitar, Cadillac, and hillbilly music. The only thing that keeps me hanging on.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.